Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Wanna be whole, you wanna have purpose inside, you wanna have virtue, and purify your mind, you wanna be set free today, lay it all down before the king, oh yeah, this is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. You want to be real, you want to be.
Gave me a vision about this, about shifting gold. He had like a plate
He had like a pan of sand, and it was like it was sifting. He was sifting people. He was getting all the stuff out of them were the gold, the part of God that's within them, the Son of God that was within them, having it to come forward. The thing that the Holy Spirit was put within us, he's wanting that to shine. He's wanting the part of that he put in us to shine. Not to be covered up, not for, you know, sin to be covering it up. He wants to remove the sin from us and reveal himself through us. That's what he's wanting to do right now, especially during his end times. He's wanting the sons and daughters to stand up and show who they are and represent him strongly. And that's what I'm really feeling right now that he's really wanting. And I'm going to go straight to Luke 22:31, where the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So what he's saying, when Satan is testing you, when Satan is testing you to see if you're going to fall, that's what he does. You know, every time the Lord builds up a brother and a sister and makes them strong in the Lord, Satan wants to see if he's for real or not, and try to knock him off the path. But after he is strong in the Lord and Satan has sifted him and really messed with him and knows that he can't fall, the Lord wants you to stand up and strengthen your brothers and sisters and tell them, say, hey, look at me, look at all the failures I went through, and I'm still standing strong in the Lord. And that's what he's wanting all of us to do. The enemy is really trying to sway us right now, trying to sway us. But the thing of it is, the Lord is letting this happen because he knows when we're swayed, it makes us stronger. It makes us stronger. And the thing that kind of reminds me of is a palm tree at the beach. If you saw these palm trees, when these hurricanes come by, and that tree just bend back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, till they're made so strong that they can't go nowhere. I mean, sooner or later, they're just stiff because they have been there for so many years and being bent by these hurricanes and these winds that have made them strong. So that's what we need to be. We need to be like one of these palm trees that's being pushed by the wind, pushed by different situations, but made strong in the Lord, where we can't move no more because we're so steady in the Word of God. We're so steady in the Lord that nothing can move us no more. We stand through it all. We stand through the storms. So the sifting is really making you strong. Robert, what has the Lord put on your heart about this?
Well, when I heard the word sifted, first thing that popped into my heart was meaning to separate or to divide. Like that scripture you just read, it says to me that the enemy desired to separate Peter. He desired to divide him and pull him off track, to get him to compromise the things that he was being shown, the things that he was being taught. Jesus was giving Peter warning that the enemy was desiring this so that Peter could do something about it. And, you know, I think one of my favorite scriptures in the book of James chapter 1, verse 12 says that blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. That scripture is a very powerful scripture because, you know, temptation is not the sin. It's when we give in. It's when we compromise the moral value, when we back off of our belief system and do things that we know are contrary to the will of God for our lives, give in to it, that's when we fail. So here that scripture is telling us that we should not allow ourselves to be separated and divided from Father's plan for our lives, that we should stand firm, love God, and receive the crown of life that has been promised to us by the Father because we stand firm. A scripture I read today at lunch break that really just sounded off like a rocket in my heart can be found in the second letter of Peter chapter 2. I think it's through verse 4. I'm going to read that to you guys. it says what I was just quoting, but it breaks it down more thorough. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that these might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, that's what Jesus was telling Peter. He was telling Peter, look, the enemy wants to divide you. He wants to separate you. He wants you to compromise so that you can miss out on the precious promises and the divine nature. We have the power and the ability given us by Jesus our Lord to successfully live this life that Father has called us to as sons of God, receiving the crown of life because we love him with all that is within us, and that's what produces that divine nature in us. He wants us to partake of his divine nature, and through his precious promises, knowing them and standing on them and trusting in them, he will reveal his divine nature. Hallelujah.
Amen. That is awesome.
Amen.
Chris, what does the Lord really put on your heart about this topic? Is it really, has it something that has been really talking to you lately? Or?
Well, I think I immediately think of, like, not substituting silver for gold or brass for gold. There's a scripture that talks about that. You know, like, it seems like it's right around, unless the Lord build the house, you labor in vain that build it. And I think there's plans that you can walk into that are the Lord's plans for your life that is way better, even for a meeting, you know, even for, like, ministering and stuff like that. I believe that God has wills for certain meetings and stuff like that. Ultimately, we want the best, God's best in that situation and what God wants to do. And oftentimes I think that we'll go after something because we have an idea. And I think sometimes that's really good, and God will bless that as far as he can. You know, but I think the people that really stand out and where the anointing is really rich and vibrant on the ministry, I think it's the ones that really take time to get before the Lord and really seek out God, saying, God, what are you wanting to do with this? How are you wanting to build into your people? Or, you know, whatever it is, because, you know, there's believing meetings and there's, like, evangelism meetings and meetings on salvation, you know, but, like, the believers meetings sometimes can go really deep in a lot of different areas and different things and teaching and stuff like that. And I think oftentimes we're getting better. I'm going to say it like that. We're getting better at doing stuff like that. That's pretty cool. I also think of a quote that Andrew Carnegie said, and it's just really cool. I've always remembered it. Andrew Carnegie was, like, one of the richest people in his time. So he was, somebody asked him, he goes, how do all these successful business people come out of your organization? And he said, well, you don't go into a gold mine looking for dirt. So it's like, I think that's kind of a spiritual principle there, because, you know, like, when you're ministering to people and you're building into people, and then, I mean, even God does it to you. You know, he don't so much look for your dirt. He calls out faith. He speaks faith over you. And really, that's it's so awesome because he calls you without spot or blemish through Christ Jesus, you know, and you're being worked to that. I mean, ultimately he sees you that way because he sees you through the blood of Jesus, but I think it's really cool because the more you build into people, the gold's going to come out in them. You know, I mean, you're believing in people, and when you believe in people, that's kind of funny because I had no idea at what kind of angle I was going to hit this, but I'm just telling you what I'm thinking right now.
There you go. There you go.
It's really cool because, I mean, in business, the thing about it is like the enemy and just like people used by the enemy that are just subject to any kind of thinking that doesn't just discipline their thinking, they'll try to discourage that a lot, you know. And like when you honor people, a lot of times it looks like people will call you like, oh, man, you're brown-nosing or whatever, you know, whatever it is that the enemy tries to, like, break you down or whatever. But I've noticed, like, the Lord's really been speaking to me a lot about honor lately over this past week and really honoring people no matter whether or not they honor you or not.
Uh-huh.
And the cool thing about that is if you honor God, you know, he's going to honor you no matter what man does. You know, and if you honor at the workplace and you honor the Lord in what you're doing and you just walk in honor, not because you deserve it, because it's God's will for your life, it's like that's such a rich fruit because the favor of God on you. And people notice it and you shine so brightly. And it's really just walking in love because it's not something that you, you know, you do because you deserve. You just do it because God loves you and you love God. And it'll kind of rise out of your heart. But I think with me, I've been experiencing fellowship with the Lord in this thing. So it's like out of the fellowship with the Lord, I want to honor people, you know, and it's like people will be making cracks and stuff at work, and I'm just like, I'll just be quiet or whatever. If they're like casting stones or, you know, just like belittling you or whatever, and I choose not to like participate in that anymore. And it's something that the Lord's really just, because, you know, like I'll joke around a lot and just, you know, I mean nothing by it but be joking, but it'd be kind of negative. And the Lord's really been saying, kind of refrain from that because I want to take you to another level in relationship with me. And it's cool, man, because it changes the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just standing in that. It completely changes what people think about you. But, man, that's bringing the gold out. And God, I just ask you to bring the gold out in us, man, because it is what we need to really shine your light to this world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, uh-huh. So that's awesome. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Amen. That's awesome. One thing that the Lord was kind of showing me when you was talking about that, a lot of times when we're not being the child of God that we're supposed to be, and we're making mistakes, a lot of times God is going behind us and trying to clean us up with the Lord's blood. His blood is covering us, covering some of the things, trying to change us where we'll be the reflection of Christ, what we're supposed to be doing. The blood has to purify us. We can't do that ourselves. Only the blood can do that. And what was so unique, you was talking there, and I was seeing this little angel. I got this little statue thing here on my desk here, and I was seeing the backside of the angel there, and I was seeing the little thing with a red crayon on it, and it was like the Lord was showing me he has to clean us up. He has to clean us up. Without him, we cannot walk in that perfection. We cannot look like him without the Lord cleaning us up. And sometimes I really feel that it takes a while for him to clean us up. He has to sift through us at times. He has to you know, change us. I mean, it's, a lot of times it ain't done in a day. You know, I can say Rome ain't built in a day, but sometimes, you know, he has to go and clean us and renew us, and sometimes it's a process. And, you know, like the disciples that the Lord had when he first met them, they was fishermen. They was tax collectors. They wasn't perfect people by no means. They wasn't perfect at all. They had a lot of faults, and he knew that, and that was the perfect type that he was wanting, because he's wanting somebody to start new. He's wanting somebody to start new with, to renew their mind and change them. And the thing of it is, and I remember, you know, Robert says this all the time, the words out of the word of God, the spoken word of Christ, you read that, it helps renew your mind, it helps cleanse you. Because, you know, the Lord said, it says in the word, he told the disciples, he said, you know, my teachings has cleansed you. Okay, my teachings has cleansed you. By reading what he said, reading the word of God, letting it soak into your mind, starts cleansing you. And his words cleanse your mind. His blood covers your soul. His blood is what renews you. He covers you. When he died and he spilt that blood for you, he cleansed your soul. But the thing of it is, we also need to stick in the word of God. We need to have that to cleanse our mind. And a lot of times when we're not in the word of God, you know, it shows at times. It shows at times. And that's one thing, you know, we really need to stay in there. I'm going to hand this over to Robert. Go ahead, man.
Hey, what I would like to point out is a great story in the Old Testament that describes a group of teenagers who had established themselves in the way of the Lord. This group of teenagers, they knew God. They knew the Word. They had a relationship with the Father, and they refused to compromise what they knew about him and what they had experienced with him. Even if they didn't see the great miracles that took place in Egypt and the Exodus, this group of boys knew that their God was able. And it's a story in Daniel chapter 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These guys, they had character. They had a set of moral values, a belief. Right beliefs produces right living. They had a set of right beliefs about the living God, the one true God, and they were established in it. They knew his promises towards them, even though they were in Babylon and they were slaves to Nebuchadnezzar. They did not allow that situation and that circumstance to cause them to compromise their beliefs, their trust. It did not compromise their lifestyle. They loved God and they refused to look to the left, to the right. They stayed focused. And that's what being tried by fire, being sifted to get the gold to come to the top is all about in their lives. These guys, they stuck to their guns, and they told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, if you throw us in the fire to burn us up, king, we don't care what you do to us. We will not bow to your golden image. We don't care how many horns blow. We don't care how many people are trying to force us and coerce us or convince us. We are not going to bow. We don't care what you do to us. That kind of attitude, that's the attitude of a person who cannot be moved. These guys, they were fixed. They were headstrong. They knew God is able. And he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That was the way they approached him. And that was the way they lived their lives. And when they were cast into the fire, oh, man, the gold that was in them showed up. The character, the nature, the image of the Father, everything that he has tried to pour in us, it was revealed in them. It was the gold that was in them. It came to the top. When you melt gold down, which one comes to the top? The gold or the impurity? What comes to the top? Anybody know?
I think the impurity does.
Okay. Well, the impurity on them was them bound, because that was the only thing that was gone when they came up out of that furnace. Hallelujah. And the gold was their trust in God, their belief system. The character of the Father was manifesting in these boys' lives. They were established in their trust for God, and nothing swayed them. They refused to compromise. There was nothing you could offer them that would cause them to not worship the Lord their God. And this was the crown that they received. This is the crown of life, because they love God and trusted God. It's the same thing that we receive. Father has made every provision for us to be forgiven. Now it's up to us to recognize that when Jesus did it, our conscience got cleansed, and all we have to do is love God, worship God, trust God, put God first, believe God, and go out and do the works that we see him doing everywhere we go. There should never be a time or an opportunity that passed that we don't demonstrate our love for God. That's what separates us from the rest of the world. Sons of God love God. Sons of God desire to demonstrate the relationship with the Lord. That's the difference between Christianity, the religion, and Christians. Christianity is this garbage that's going on out in the world right now, where everybody's compromising and doing what the world is doing. But a Christian will not compromise. The religion looks good, but the religion is bad. But the reality of Christianity, the relationship that Father desires, that he can place his crown of life upon you because you refuse to compromise and you stand for what he stands for, and you only believe and trust his word and his provision for your life, that is what these teenagers did that Father is longing for all humanity to do. He created us to be dependent upon him, to trust in him for everything. So the gold in this case is you and I trusting God, believing God. And when we're cast into the fire, when the situations and the circumstances arise where compromise would present itself and contrary, we say, no, that's not what Father's doing, so that's not what I do. I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. That is the gold right there. That is the prize. That is the most valuable thing that we will ever, ever have, is that unique, divine relationship that Father desires that we have. Amen.
Amen. That's good, Robert. That's good.
Praise the Lord.
It's awesome because, when you're put to the fire, I mean, it's just like diamonds, how the earth actually, the lava and all that stuff melts and melts parts of the earth, and it keeps on making it harder and harder, then it creates a diamond. Mm-hmm. And all the different elements that actually use to create that diamond is like the most beautifulest rock in the world is a diamond, and it takes so much heat, so much pressure to create that diamond. And without that heat and all that pressure, that diamond can't be as beautiful as it is. So the more stuff, like the gold and with the diamond, the more stuff we're put under, the more Christ shines out of us, because we're going to stand up for who we're supposed to be. And I've even noticed that I've even noticed that in my own life. You know, the more pressure I put under, that's when I shine the most. That's when you shine the most. That's when everybody shines the most. If Christ is in you and you're put under pressure, all the disciples after Christ, you know, went, you know, sent it up to the Father, they was all put under pressure. And the more pressure that the Pharisees put on the apostles, the bigger the Christian community grows. It's like more fire they put on them, the faster the church grows. And I think that's what's going to happen in the last days. All these people have come against us Christians is trying to, you know, battle us, trying to kill us and all this stuff. The faster the church is going to grow, it's dwindled out over the years. But all this fire coming on us is going to explode the church. It's going to explode the church. It's going to show people for who they really are, just like it did in the day of Pentecost, for how it blew up during that time. It's like more fire that is put on us, the more we stand up for the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're all going to have to do. You know, when this fire comes on us, we've got to stand up and stand firm in his name. Because when we stand firm, that's just who he is and who we are. And that's the main thing. We've got to stand firm. We've got to stand firm. And that's one of the biggest things. But there will be many that will fall. There's a lot of people that say they're in him and they're not really in him. And then when that fire comes, whoo, they're going to fall because they have nothing to hold them steady. It ain't really gold there. It's more dirt there than gold. And then it just turns away. It burns. It goes to nothing. But the real gold, the real trophy, the real jewel, it will still be there. I mean, if you got a real jewel in your heart, it's going to show. It's going to reflect. You're going to be tough. You're going to stand firm when that fire comes, and you're going to really push the Lord Jesus through. They're going to see who you are. And ain't nobody gonna sway you back and forth, sway you back and forth. And I'm gonna tell you, folks. I know one of the things in my own life when I was in Unity back years ago, I was for the Lord Jesus, but I was in a weird church, and I can't tell you how many people swayed me back and forth. Well, that ain't right. That ain't really true. That's old stuff. Back in the old day, that wasn't really true. I stayed firm, though. I stayed firm. I didn't budge. I still stayed firm on the Lord. I'm going to tell you, no matter, the Lord says, who God has given me, the children that God has given me, Jesus says, will stay with me. So if you're given to the Lord Jesus, you're going to stay with him. The God the Father has given you to him, and you're going to stay with him. If you're really for him and he's really in you, you're going to stay with him no matter where the fire comes, no matter where the battle comes. You're going to stay strong in him, but if you wasn't given to him and you're not strong with him, you're going to fall like the rest. You're going to fall to the ground, I'm telling you. Because this here is going to test you and show you where you are. Are you in religion? Are you in it for fame? Are you in it for money? Are you in it to be famous? Are you in it for the gold? To receive Christ? Are you in it to go to heaven? Are you in it to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? What are you in it for? And the fire will reveal what you are in it for. The fire will reveal what you are in Christ. That's the biggest thing. It always does that. I can't tell you. I mean, even in my life and a lot of Christian brothers and sisters' lives that I know of, when the fire comes, that's when they shine the brightest. They're the brightest light. It's the brightest light. You can talk. You can dance on the good times. You know, everybody, anytime that there's good times, everybody's happy. Sinners, Christians, all of them, everybody's always happy during the good times. But during the bad times is when it's going to show what you are. Are you going to fall? Are you going to still walk for the Lord? Are you going to bounce back and forth? I'm telling you, it's like that. I'm going to tell you, you might not be happy in that walk with the Lord. You might go through some persecution. That happens. That happens, brothers. I'm telling you, it happens. But as long as you stay firm and reveal who you are, that's it. And I can't tell you how many brothers and sisters I've talked to, when they're going through hard times. They'll tell me, like, hey, brother, you know, it's tough. I've been through this before. I'm going to tell you, I want to be firm. the Lord's taking care of me. I'm looking at the Lord for glory. He's revealing his love to me during this time. And I'm going to tell you, people, when you're in tough times, God will comfort you. He will minister to you during these tough times. When this fire's coming on you, he will minister to you. You will feel peace. You will feel glory. That's what he does. He ministers to his children all the time. When you're going through stuff, he don't leave you alone. He never leaves you alone.
No.
And I guard to Sammy, God never did leave Jesus alone. He was always ministered to by angels. And he does the same to you. He does the same to you. He never leaves you alone. I was talking to my brother Heath Adams earlier today on the phone. I told him, I said, so many people ask for the Lord to reveal himself to them, and he's doing it all day long, but they never see it.
Mm-hmm.
He is doing it all day long through all types of things, like, hey, I'm here. If there's the answer, hey, I'm here, but you're never paying attention
mm-hmm.
because you're stuck on yourself or you're stuck on other things.
Mm-hmm.
Take yourself take yourself out of the picture and see if God shows up. Take yourself out of the picture and see if God shows up. I guarantee you he will.
Amen.
And that's one of the biggest things that us people in America is stuck on, is what we can get or what we can receive, but nothing else.
Mm.
And then we holler for God during tough times. We wonder where he is.
Mm. Wow.
We holler where he is because we're not looking at him. We're looking at ourselves. And God is like, hey, son, hey, daughter, I'm here. But we're still looking inward.
Hey, Stan.
Go ahead, Rob.
Stan, right? On that note, what you just said, the Lord was just showing me about the discipleship. When we are disciples, we literally are walking out the reality of being Christ-like. The real relationship, the Christian relationship, the Christian walk, the person who is going to stand and do what they're supposed to do to glorify and honor Father and not be swayed and not be wavering, double-minded, double standard, that person is a person who is allowing themselves to be discipled in relationship. And in the discipleship, you are learning what it takes to produce that gold in you. That's where the sifting comes. The sifting comes in walking each day, learning how to deny yourself. Because Jesus tells us to take up our cross daily and deny ourselves. That's what disciples do. Christianity, the religion, is full of converts who are stuck at the door, unable to see and to recognize. They're hard in their hearts, which means cold, insensitive, unyielding unto the Spirit, and they don't understand spiritual things. They're too carnal-minded, too natural-minded. They're moved by everything that they see, what they see, taste, touch, hear, and smell. That's the Christianity, the religion, just like every other religion, please sin. Religion is man trying to get to God in his own ability, and it all fails. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way, and that's to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To become a disciple, he poured himself into them for 3.5 years, demonstrating the heart of the Father, the plan and the will of the Father to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to do the things, get rid of what was contrary, to hate evil, to not say it's okay today to be homosexual because we have to do what the government wants us to do and we're being pressured. Don't give in to the pressure, to stand against the pressure and to represent him. Homosexuality has always been a problem. It has always been wrong. The enemy has used it along with every other piece of garbage that he could muster to try to deceive humanity, to keep humanity in bondage, and to stop the plan of God from coming to pass. disciples recognize those things because Jesus, by his Spirit, teaches us what we need to know to bring the good out of us, the good that Father desires, divine good. Father's looking for the divine good in his people. And disciples, real relationship disciples who love God and refuse to compromise, disciples are going to daily take up their cross so that they're not in bondage to themselves, and they're going to allow the Spirit of God to have the front seat in their lives and drive them and compel them to do what our Father has called us to do, and that's to represent him here in this physical earth, to demonstrate by love, compassion, mercy, and grace what is his perfect will, his plan for our lives. He wants none to perish and all to come to the knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus. But the religion does not produce that. Discipleship produces that. Discipleship will cause the gold to come out, the gold to rise up, and the gold to be seen if we become disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ and lay down our lives and become living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto him. Know that he loves us and only desires the best for us. He doesn't want us sick, beat down, and oppressed. He doesn't want us in broken relationships. He doesn't want us living in sin and being consumed by the garbage of this world. He wants us free from everything that binds. He has given his Spirit to break every yoke. It is the anointing, the presence of the Father that destroys and breaks the yokes of bondage. And he's looking for us to recognize this truth. Submit ourselves unto the truth, because it's the truth that you know that sets you free. Truth all day long can be spoken, but until you know it, you'll still walk in bondage. You have to get revelation of the truth and know it. We are accountable for that we know, to walk it out, to demonstrate it. And I believe that's what the Lord is wanting us to focus our hearts and our lives on in this last day. Stop being converts and start being disciples. Stop being religious and calling yourself a Christian because you go to a building and you fellowship with other people and they do this and they do that. No, build a relationship. You are the church. Your body is the temple. Let the Holy Spirit come in and dwell in you forever, as it is written, he desires to dwell in you. Let your life be a reflection of his life so that he can manifest his glory in the earth in this last day. That's the heart cry of our Father. To see his reflection, to see himself, and to see his glory revealed in his children. He loves each and every one of us the same. He loves no one more than the other. He didn't love Jesus any more than he loves Stan. He loves Stan as much as he loves Jesus. He loves you out there in the listening world. He loves every one of us the same, and he wants the same for all of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Praise him because you can. He is awesome. He is wonderful. He is magnificent. He deserves our praise. He deserves to be adored and glorified by his people, scheme of the enemy, to stop us from doing it. And we have to stand up and refuse to compromise. Stand up and refuse to give in. Stand up and be an example. And let your gold shine. Let your gold come to the top. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise him.
Amen.
Praise
great.
Him.
Great.
Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Chris, you still here?
Yeah, man, I'm just listening. Just listening.
Praise God.
When I think about gold, I just think about the purity, you know, and the just how like it, from looking at it as like a prophetic standpoint, and you think about all the luster and the fact that it's so pliable, you know, it's considered the king of metals, you know, and it's pretty cool when you think about it, because I mean, it's one of the most highly sought after metals too. That's really cool, and I just really believe that God looks at each and every one of us that way, that we're sought after, and He wants to display us as gold to the
Hallelujah.
World.
Yes.
Yeah, just
Hallelujah.
Before Him. You know, that's so cool.
Amen.
That's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Chris, how long is it until you graduate, brother?
Saturday.
Awesome.
Graduating year two of New Bern Supernatural School of Ministry. It's amazing. It's going to be awesome.
Amen.
Congratulations.
Amen. Yes, sir. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you.
Amen.
I know you had to sacrifice a lot to do that. I know with trying to juggle family and your job and everything together, and plus this show, trying to keep everything intact. I know it was pretty tough for you, but you got through it though, man.
It's been really hard, but very rewarding. It's probably the most rewarding thing that maybe I've ever done, as far as, and it's cool knowing that the Lord really directed me into it. There was not a shadow of a doubt with that for me. So, and He leads people different ways, but for me, He took me this route, and I've grown tremendously. I'm more confident in Him than I've ever been, and I'm very, very grateful for the experience that I've had growing with these guys, and really made some awesome connections and, you know, family. I mean, I look at classmates and some of these people as family, and we're going to spend eternity forever. So it's been an honor going and growing. And,
yeah.
Wow. It's exciting to see what the Lord's doing.
I know it wasn't all that easy for you. I know you had you know, things come against you trying to take you out of that school, trying to say not to go there, but you went straight forward that school. You went through that school and did what the Lord guided you to do, and I know it's going to pay off big, brother. I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
I almost
feel like if you're not having tension come against you sometimes, that you're probably not doing a whole lot for the Lord.
Yeah, you ain't doing much when you got no tension, man.
Because the enemy don't mess with people that ain't really like messing him up, so to speak.
Yeah. I've known some people be like, oh, my life is so perfect. You must be going through bad stuff because the devil actually... I said, no, your life is so perfect because the enemy ain't worried about you, but he's worried about me. So
when he surfaces, I like to try to put some knots on his head, you know?
There you
like
go.
Like the whack-a-mole game.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, when you make it rougher on us, brother, you know, it makes us stronger, and we go at it even stronger. We go with longer punches, longer kicks to the enemy when he does that. And you don't understand that. He's crazy, man. He keeps on with this stuff, and he knows it makes it. You don't know what makes us stronger, and the more we're kicked, the further we go. And that's the thing about the fire and the goal, man. You know, every time you put fire on that gold, it looks shinier all the time. That's what we're doing, man.
Hey, one of the stories I was thinking about as we were talking tonight was Joseph. You know, like I was thinking about how he was kind of refined through humility, and really, like, you kind of apply it to John 15, where it's talking about being pruned and stuff like that. It's kind of the same scenario, because it's like God will put you in things that ultimately develop you for the better, for His glory and for use, so to speak. And like, you can look over all kinds of people in the Old Testament and see that, but Joseph really stands out to me about like the humility that he went through in development, like the character, and he was just a very admirable person, man. I mean, you know, and really I was thinking about this too, how like so many things, like most of the New Testament was written from a place of humility, where Paul was in prison, or even the Pilgrim's Progress, that guy was in prison when he wrote that book. And there's so many things like that, that it's almost like a fire of life, or you know, a circumstances kind of sifted out the gold in the people, you know. So like, not always are those difficult situations that you go through in life, sometimes it's just sifting the gold out of you, because of like what you're going through, God's able to use that thing to really pull out. And sometimes it can be kind of painful to our carnal man, you know. But another thing I think about is how, like, the spirit and the flesh are kind of contradicting each other a lot, you know. And the thing, your flesh often wants to do the thing that's contrary to the spirit. That's what Romans talks about that a lot. And it's really cool because, man, I mean, like, there's gold in the darkest of the people, you know, and there's good in the worst, and there's bad in the best. So, I mean, the thing about it is not getting your eyes on that bad stuff. Because what you magnify is going to grow. If you magnify the Lord, he's going to be very big to you. If you magnify the dirt and the crap, then it's going to get really big to you. So it's like, it's good to evaluate your perspective and just hold all that stuff before the Lord, and the Lord will redirect your paths. You know? That's why it says the steps of a righteous man are directed by the Lord, you know. And it's like you hold it before Him, because He's leading you and guiding you and directing you into what He wants you to do. Destiny has a lot to do with you.
Yes, that's amen.
Cool.
Amen.
That's awesome.
God bless me.
Amen.
That's awesome. At this time, I like to plug the event in July again. It's going to be the Healing Light Conference. Saturday, July 11th. It's going to be at 5 p.m. We're going to have co-host Reverend Robert Hager, co-host Reverend Chuck McDonald, and evangelist guest speaker Heath Adams. And then we're going to have our old co-host Reverend Jacob Phillips from Louisiana. He's going to be there. And yours truly, me, Reverend Stan, is going to be hosting the event. And we're also going to have live worship. They're an awesome band. They're coming out of Asheville, and their name is Robert and Erica Jordan. They're going to be leading worship. It's going to be an awesome event. We're expecting a lot of things to happen, and we're expecting the Lord to really touch a lot of people during this event. It's going to be at Marketplace Church, 2936 North Carolina Highway, 127 South Hickory, North Carolina, 28602. For more information, just call me at 828-461-3604. And as we say, you know, the stripes that Lord Jesus took on that post pay for all your healing. and you deserve every illness you have. He deserves to get it all healed because he paid that price. I'm telling you, you come here, you come to this event, expect great things to happen. The Lord's going to touch you, going to renew you, and he's going to reveal new things to you. So it's going to be an awesome conference. We're all very excited about it. And, you know, we'll see you there. Robert, you have anything you want to announce? Or
This Sunday, 10:30. Here at 1628 Lee Huss Lane, we will be having church service at His Reflection. So please come and enjoy the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I was going to talk a little bit more about this Saturday, but me and Chuck McDonald got to go and talk to Mike. I have a hard time with his last name. I'm not going to say it right now. But anyway, we went and talked to Mike. He's over at the Cowboy Church on Roku channel, on the little Roku channel thing. And we've been talking about starting a Healing Light channel. We're still in the works of that. We're not sure where that's going to go. But we got to see a TV studio. Me and Chuck McDonald got to see the TV studio. We got to see the cameras. We got to see the whole area that they tape all this stuff at. We also got to go on a radio show that was taking place there in Asheboro, and we got to, me and Chuck got to speak on the radio show. They're raising money for a retreat they're going on up north, and while they was talking, the radio guy told Mike to bring us to his house, so that's where he had his show and all that, and we got to go live on air, and actually He got to interview me. I've never been interviewed before, so you got to hear my story on his channel, which is very awesome, and I was very excited to give my story. And Chuck got to talk a little bit about his testimony and stuff, too. So we had a blast on there. We got to really, you know, advertise the show and plug the show and try to bring more people into our show also. So it was awesome. We got to go to Walmart. We got to see a guy's leg heal. We got to see onlookers watching us pray for his legs, wondering what we was doing, and we got to tell them that the Lord Jesus was healing this guy's legs. And a lot of people ain't actually got to see that before because, like I said, there's a lot of people that does this. So we had an awesome time that day, and we got to minister, reveal the Lord Jesus to people, and actually got to go on a radio show. So not only on our show, but on another show, and it was very awesome. The Lord blessed us that day. So it was a very exciting Thursday. So there's some good stuff that's going to come out of that, and we're going to see what the Lord is going to do with that. But that's what we got to do. I try to share what's going on in the show with the audience and see what's going on in the background. But I want to thank everybody for listening to us on podcast or live. It's always a blessing to have listeners to stop in. If you can, go to the Healing Light Show page on Facebook, like the page, let us know what you think about the show. If you've got any healings, just let us know. And actually just follow it on Blog Talk, and anytime that we have a show, it will email the new show to you, let you know when we're going to have it. And it'll be a little bit easier to keep up with. And at this time, that's what I normally do most of the time. Just go ahead and put your hand on where your ailment is, whether it's your chest, your leg, your arm, wherever it is. Put your hand right there now. I'm going to count those. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and pray for that. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to leave. I command anybody that's having a heart problem, I command the spirit of heartache to leave. In Jesus' name, I bind you and command you to break loose now in Jesus' name. I command wholeness upon their heart. I command wholeness upon their arteries. I command spirit of depression to leave the person's mind. I command you to leave the rooms of this person's mind. I command you to break free now in Jesus' name. You have no authority. You break loose off of them now in Jesus' mighty name. I command whoever having problems, issues with their feet, I command all tendons, all muscles, all bones to be instantly grown back together now in Jesus' name. I command life to their feet. I command life to their muscles. At this time, Father, I ask you to minister to whoever is needing it now. Minister to their heart. Minister to their heart. They might be some heaviness on their heart, heaviness of something that went on in their life. I ask you to minister to them now. Make it right within their heart now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. And so, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and invite anybody who wants to accept the Lord right now to say this quick prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you into my heart.
I accept you into my heart.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I hand all my transgressions to you and all my sins to you, Lord.
I hand all my sins and transgressions to you, Lord.
And I set them at your feet.
And I set them at your feet.
And I ask you to come within me and live with me for eternity.
And I ask you to come within me and live in me for eternity.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
He just said his prayer. He came and lived with inside of your heart. He will be with you forever.
Forever. Amen. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
He's so good. He is so good.
Amen.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Amen. Well, it's nice to have y'all on here tonight, Chris and Robert, and we'll see you guys next Wednesday.
Amen. Look forward to it.
Yeah, man. All right.
Good night.
Amen. Good night, everybody.
From